Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
But I'm looking for a War of 1812 cannon. Why am I looking for a War of 1812 cannon? Because last night I was hanging with the mayor and his friends, which is actually part of a Steely Dan song here at the Western World. But I was hanging with Mayor Delano and Supervisor Culpa of Amherst. And as you know, the village of Williamsville, you might not know this, was the Valley Forge of the American Army during the War of 1812. There were some very difficult times here in the Niagara frontier after the Brits burned down the city of Buffalo. So the American Army did a strategic withdrawal to Williamsville in order to get away from the Brits, and a lot of citizens went with the Army for protection. And the village is trying to pay homage and honor to those who fought, died, and served our country in the War of 1812 in Williamsville, New York, and they need a War of 1812 cannon. The last time I priced a War of 1812 cannon, it was like $30,000 to $35,000. I have written to the U.S. Army history people in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I've also written to Old Fort Niagara. But here's the problem. Any cannon owned by Old Fort Niagara is technically owned by the federal government. So it would pretty much take an act of Congress for them, even if they wanted to give the village of Williamsville a cannon for display. So if you know where we can track down, preferably pro bono, preferably gratis, a War of 1812 cannon, would you please send me an email, tom@wben.com, tom@wben.com. And also, don't laugh, but in keeping with the historical theme, I'm trying desperately, again, to track down a company that would be willing to let us use ground-penetrating radar. Now, you may ask, why is Tom looking for ground-penetrating radar? And the answer is this. There are two sites that need to be uncovered in the village of Williamsville, and once we have ground-penetrating radar, we're going to take a peek at old maps, we're going to focus in on a search area, and we're going to try to find the site of the U.S. Army, the real site of the U.S. Army barracks during the winter of 1814 in Williamsville, as well as the U.S. Army Field Hospital, which many people believe is located underneath what is now Garrison Park. So the long and the short of it is that we really need a War of 1812 cannon, which hopefully somebody will donate, and we really would like ground-penetrating radar and a crew for a day so we can see if we can't track down the War of 1812 hospital and barracks in Williamsville. And a lot of you don't know this, but hundreds, if not thousands, of American soldiers died in Williamsville during the winter of 1814, typically of diseases like dysentery, which is not a lot of fun to have in the middle of winter, or in the middle of summer for that matter, or any time whatsoever. So if you can help, could you please send me an email, tom@wben.com. That's tom@wben.com. The War of 1812, folks, it doesn't get a lot of publicity, it doesn't get a lot of press, but our area was one of three hotbeds of War of 1812 history in the United States, and the village of Williamsville played a hugely, significantly historic role in the War of 1812, in particular in 1814. So hopefully you haven't been bored to tears by the soliloquy on what we need. But if you can help, please send an email to tom@wben.com. I'll put you in touch with the right people.
Do you think anyone... Who would have an 18?
I'll tell you, the last guy I spoke with that had a War of 1812 cannon was a scuba diver. I believe he was diving off of Lake. I think he was actually diving in Lake Ontario. It could have been the Niagara River, but for some reason, Lake Ontario comes to mind. and was actually able to pull up a War of 1812 cannon. And he was willing to sell it to me for like $30,000 or $35,000. Now, I'd like my own War of 1812 cannon, but let's put it this way, not to the point where I want to spend that kind of money on an old, rusty relic. But the village of Williamsville would put it on public display on Main Street in the village. And I love what they're doing in the village of Williamsville. And frankly, so do a lot of other people, because houses are listed in the village and they're selling literally within hours at top dollar. And I'm not doing this for that reason. I mean, it's just I would like to do something, because we have some great villages. We have some absolutely great villages in this area. We've got the village of Hamburg, the village of East Aurora. You've got downtown North Tonawanda. You've got the village of Williamsville, and many other villages in Western New York that really make Western New York living and village living, I think, a very, very special thing in this era of big box stores and Amazon. There's something to be said for the I think the hospitality and the camaraderie of living in a village. We do a lot of cool things in the village.
Yeah, I think I would probably look at divers too. People that go through Lake Ontario and all the wrecks that are out there are pretty pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, and as long as it's a War of 1812 cannon, I'm pretty sure we can get it transported properly, and I'm pretty sure we can have somebody build the proper wood carriage for it. So we just need the cannon. And again, it's not for me, and there's no money involved. It would just be a donation, which I'm not sure if it would be tax deductible for you. You'd have to ask your accountant. I'm not a tax lawyer or anything like that. So. Maybe we'll hit pay dirt, but it kind of fits in because, David, we're talking about private versus public schools on WBEN. And the first hour of the show, we spent talking about the 27th District of New York and Congress. And if you want to listen to that online, it's on demand audio at WBEN.com. And a reminder, if you're still trying to get our radio station on the old site, the only site where you can get WBEN radio online is radio.com. That's radio.com, and you can listen to us anywhere, any place, anytime on radio.com. You can also go to WBEN.com and listen to our on-demand audio, which I'm sure staffers at the DCCC have been doing since at least 2 weeks ago.
You know, we were talking about public versus private schools, and we just wanted to have your opinion as to what you had a better experience, public or private. Thing is interesting to me when you talk about public schools, and this is where, you know, when you talk about the erosion of you know, the culture that we live in, this I generation compared to the, you know, Generation X, we were couch potatoes. Then 9/11 happened. No one gave my generation any respect. 9/11 happens. All of a sudden, an entire generation answers the call. Then you have, you know, the generation that follows these millennials. And people are saying the same thing about millennials that they said about the Generation X, that they said about baby boomers. You know, every generation is going to sort of look two generations down and say, you guys are worthless. And then something happens, a challenge happens, and America responds like every other generation. But the pre-kindergarten and public kindergarten kids, this is where I think we're in trouble. Because if you look at the fall of 2017, you had about 1.4 million kids that are attending basically public pre-K school. And about 3.8 million kids are in kindergartens across the country. These statistics come from the National Center for Education Statistics. These kids are learning things in pre-K and in kindergarten that are, I would say, most parents would look and say, you know what, do we really need to introduce pre-K kids to the transgender identity issue? Do we need to not that we want kids in public schools to have an opinion against transgender people or for transgender people, but does a pre-kindergarten child have the capacity to even understand anything? I mean, if there's anything to teach a pre-K kid, it would probably be, you know, manners, you know, how to play nice with others, and the privacy of their own body. You know, maybe it would be smart to tell them that no one should touch them, or if they see a gun, you go to an adult, or maybe you teach them not to play with matches, whatever the basics are for pre-K. But to go into these sort of like skill level, you know, four blocks of instruction on choices that adults make dealing with their own sexuality or their own gender and the willingness to want to switch or whatever. This is where we've lost ourselves. And I think this is where we've lost our mind in the deep cesspool.
And we are going to get into that. By the way, your phone calls 803-0930. Private schools or public schools? Where are schools failing our kids? Is it math? Is it science? Is it American history? Now, look, I happen to be a history lover, so to me, I focus in on history. Also, if you're in the middle of the nasty weather, feel free to call us, *930. That's *930. We realize that a lot of education is indoctrination, and that's one of the aspects of this we want to start talking about as well. Are you afraid as your kids are going back to school that they're being indoctrinated and not educated? And I don't think, David, that you can really bifurcate the lack of wanting to educate kids about American history from indoctrination. Because how can you possibly, I mean, seriously, when you know about American history, and are there flaws in this country's past? Of course there are. There's flaws in every country's past. We're not perfect.
But you
We've
don't,
never been perfect.
But you don't treat it like the middle schools in Germany do, where they just absolutely block out. You know, German history starts in 1927, and it begins again in 1946.
Viva on vacation!
And exactly. There's no mention of these. Well, I shouldn't say there's no mention of it, but it's not something that America, to its credit, addresses all of the sins America has made better than any other country in the world. And I'm saying that there is a way that you can teach pre-K and K kids to be accepting of other people's anything, you know, to not be judgmental, to befriend people that are different than you. But you don't have to break down the thought process of someone who's born one way and chooses for whatever reason to be another way. I mean, again, we're talking about three and 4 year olds, you know, for the most part, and then you get into kindergarten, and then you're into, you know, daddy's got a roommate. Well, you know, I mean, listen, there's a way that you can knock out all of those, you know, social interhuman dynamic skills that kids need to have so that they can accept things that are different, not judge them, not show hate, not harbor any of these things that we don't want without walking them through how a condom works
right.
on a
banana or a zucchini.
Exactly. It's ridiculous.
It is 5:24 at News Radio 930 WBEN. We have much more coming up. And, David, we screwed up. You know what we forgot? Because we're talking about private school. We're talking about public school. Do you know how badly I feel right now? We screwed up. We didn't even mention homeschooling. Do you know how stupid I feel? So if you're a homeschooler, sorry about that. You can call in and tell us what you do about American history. And is it the American history that is lacking in both the private and the public schools? And I think, look, if you want to inculcate ideas that America sucks into young minds, as Rush Limbaugh would say, filled with mush, you don't teach American history, and you just pretend that the world is the way it is, and America has no redeeming qualities whatsoever and never has.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
Rest in peace, O Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, who had been gravely ill for the past several days, succumbed today at the age of 76. And for those who don't know, Aretha spent some of her childhood here in Buffalo, New York, from about the age of 2 to about the age of 5 years, and always had a soft spot in her heart for Buffalo, New York. Aretha Franklin, no longer with us. What a life, what a career, and what a performer. And again, you know, in the era before James Gandolfini made sex appeal redefined, Aretha Franklin did the same thing for women. Unfortunately, not nearly enough, but she certainly was, she was not your stereotypical singer of the era. You know, you think about Mama Cass and the abuse she took. I don't remember anybody ever poking fun at Aretha Franklin's weight, because her voice always overpowered everything else. And she was just a beautiful, beautiful soul and a tremendous, tremendous singer. And the idea that she wanted the room at a certain temperature to sing, that's not being a prima donna. That's not being a diva. It's tough to use your voice for an extended period of time in cold, dry conditions. It's very easy to overdo it with the voice for whatever reason. It is 5:38. Somebody is texting us. A few people have texted us that we're off the air. Alden looks like it's about to be hammered by the storm. If you're driving around and you want to tell us where the weather is bad, we would like to know. We'd like blow-by-blow accounts. It is you can call us at *930. That is *930. Otherwise, we're talking about education and who drops the ball more, the private schools, the public schools, the homeschoolers. Who's better, the private schools, the public schools, the homeschoolers? And when we got into this topic, I said that my daughter went to private school, and I was very happy with the results of the private school. My son went to public school, and thank God he went to public school because he wasn't doing so well in high school. And they put him in the alternative instructional model where he absolutely blossomed, and he flourished, and he graduated, and now he's kicking butt in college and will most likely earn a PhD before too long. So pretty happy about that. And my daughter ended up in law school. So you've got private school and public school, and I can say good things about both of them. The one thing I must say was a commonality, though, as a parent, my profound disappointment at the horrible education in American history my kids received, and I was in a position of having to basically educate my kids about American history and teach them what I knew about American history without the benefit of being augmented by the schools. You might find yourself in the same position. 803-0930 is the phone number. We're back on the air. 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. By the way, just so you know, we as long as this weather is around, we're going to get knocked off the air. So you don't need to keep texting us when we're off air, on air, off. We do appreciate it, but remember, when we're off the air, we're always on the internet. You go to radio.com and you can listen to us that way. Believe me, I know it's a pain in the buttocks, but you know, given a choice between not hearing what you want to hear and hearing what you want to hear. But we appreciate your input. We really do, but no need to drive yourself crazy telling us, oh, you're off the air, oh, you're on the air, oh, you're on the air. It's all good, man, and we appreciate you listening.
Yeah, no, we were talking about Aretha Franklin earlier. We'll get back to education here. But did you know that she had her first child when she was 12 years old?
That I did not know.
She had her second child when she was 14. Now, think about that. I mean, that's an extreme amount of responsibility at 12 years old. Then her sister and her grandmother took turns raising the children as she was trying to, you know, start her career in Detroit. But that's nuts. I mean, 12 years old.
That's, I can't even begin to imagine. Wow. But again, to have that kind of responsibility and to flourish in the entertainment business with two kids by the time you're 14.
Talent is talent.
Wow.
I mean, you can't hide that under a bushel basket.
Let's go to Lori in Clarence on WBEN. Lori, talking about private versus public schools.
Well, on that point, I think that public, private, homeschool, you know, the common factor that's going to attribute to any kid's success is the engagement of their parents. So, I mean, I think if you're talking about who's dropping the ball, it, you know, can be placed squarely on home life, parent involvement, and raising kids that are accountable for the work that's due in school. But what I wanted to ask about was, I must have missed the reference and the source to what you were talking about preschoolers and kindergartners being taught about alternative lifestyles. Because my kids are currently in public school, starting kindergarten and first grade next month, and they've never been taught about anything like that. So I was just wondering.
There's like so much data out there. Your school might not participate. These are federal, national numbers. They're all over the country. And there's districts that are, you know, introducing these sorts of things at a young age. And what I'm saying is that I think you can still get the same. I think the goal here is that you're raising children that are not looking at people that are different and, you know, judging them or facilitating hate, that we could look at a kid that's a little heavier or a kid that, you know, maybe has acne or has glasses, and there's not that rush to bully or, you know, there are certain life skills you can give kids at a very early age to allow them to get along better,
and
rather,
Lori,
than to walk them through the entire steps of why.
Lori, just so you know, this is a very, if you would do a Google search, you'd find articles like this from the Los Angeles Times, even going back to September 2nd of last year. Should kindergarten include books about being transgender? This is a discussion that is, in fact, happening all over the country.
so, have you had any examples of it happening anywhere around here, or is it just kind
of? Well, we're talking about the national statistics. Where these statistics are coming from the national, what is it, the Institute of National Center for Education Statistics.
And what is that funded through?
What is it funded through? What are you talking about?
Who pays them?
The Department of Education? Their stats that... I guess what I'm saying is nowhere in the National Center for Education Statistics does it talk about what the kids are learning. We just have raw data. You want to tune in earlier to the show, you could have heard the whole setup. But what we're talking about is that there are 1.4 million kids in pre-K, and there are 3.8 million kids that are in kindergarten as of fall of 2017. And the point is... we're talking about the difference between public schools and private schools. So in a private school, you wouldn't have to follow No Child Left Behind. In a public school, whatever that state basically mandates, that is what you're teaching all those kids. There's not a lot of flexibility with curriculum.
And Lori, the National Center for Education Statistics is the primary federal entity for collecting and analyzing data related to education. You had a question about the National Center for Education stats, and that's what it is.
I think it's important for your listeners to realize that this isn't an ongoing situation locally that they need to have a knee-jerk reaction.
Lori, listen to the program. It's a four-hour program. Give me a break. We're talking about things in a talk show that folks want to talk about. This is, what are we teaching pre-K kids? What are we teaching kindergarten kids? You happen to be in a school system that doesn't do that. That's fantastic. There are other people out there that are saying, you know what? Maybe I'm not comfortable with pre-K kids learning anything about sex or alternative lifestyles. Maybe, just maybe, we don't want to teach sixth graders about alternative lifestyles. What is the proper age to do that? This is the discussion we're having. But to imply that we're putting, what?
You're talking about pre-K and kindergarten, and you're a Buffalo, Western New York based show. So I'm just curious.
Oh, Lori. Lori,
I'm detecting some hostility with Lori.
Lori didn't have breakfast today. She's upset.
We're not going to make a My Doll joke.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, look, you're cranky. You're upset about it. I don't know what.
I don't know why she would be upset about
there's
this.
There's no propaganda here. What we're saying is that when you there is a way to teach a pre-K kid how to accept folks that are different, whether it be religion or skin color or ethnicity, sexuality. There is a way to teach kindergarten kids to be accepting.
Why don't we just ask people in our audience, tell us, have your kids been talked to about transgenders at, let's say, the elementary school level? Let's just ask our audience and let us know. At what age was your kid in Western New York talked to about transgenderism, et cetera? And again, you can do your own Google search and find out. It's not like David reached into his buttocks and pulled something out of his nether regions. He didn't.
It's all over the. But I guess my point is, I don't even care if it's happening in Western New York or if it's happening in San Francisco. My point is, don't you think that public schools run by the states can still give a block of instruction to pre-K kids and kindergarten kids that will show that they, you know, to help them be more accepting of difference and in a way that does not get into the minutiae of why people are different? I mean, if the end result is that we all treat people the same and we all respect each other, does it really matter why the individual is different? See, because I was raised to celebrate difference. I always thought that was a thing that was supposed to be, hey, I was born a boy, someone's a girl. There are many things that girls can do that boys can't do. That doesn't make them better or worse. It just makes us different. I don't understand why we have to get into the minutiae of why someone, you know, an alternative lifestyle. I just want my kid to be able to treat that person, you know, with respect. It doesn't mean that we have to understand where you're coming from. It just means that we have to respect it. Is that not the way we're raising our kids today, or am I different?
It's the way I raise my kids.
I mean, maybe the family.
You know where my kids are right now? Provincetown. That's where my kids are right now, in Provincetown.
But my point is that I thought the end result was just mutual respect, so that we didn't, you know, have kids that say, hey, what do you mean you've got a poster of, you know, that band, or what do you mean you're Muslim? That's not right. No one's Muslim. No, we want people to look at difference and say, hey, I respect that. Just because it's not like me doesn't mean it's wrong and doesn't mean it should be set aside and abused.
I also don't think that, I mean, let's put it this way. In kindergarten, you ought to just know how to tie your shoes. In kindergarten, you should begin to learn how to read.
It's way too much.
I mean, frankly, and honest to God, I think that of any population that has received a disproportionate amount of media coverage, it is transgenders. I mean, it's not anti-transgender. It's just you're talking about well under 1% of the American public, which would identify as being transgender. And I think far too much time has been spent talking about far too few people. That doesn't mean because there are so few people that we should raise our kids to hate transgender people. But I got to tell you, David, I've said this before. There are a lot of people in the gay and lesbian and bi community who aren't real comfortable with being lumped in with the transgenders.
But I'm saying there's more people with peanut allergies than there are transgender people, but we don't break down at the pre-K level and explain.
And the phones go wild.
No, I'm just saying that
peanut allergies.
No, I'm just saying that there are things, you know, if we're going to use statistics and numbers and say, you know, why would you have to put in a block of instruction at the state level something that affects 0.1%? You wouldn't think that would get funding.
You know, David, the world has come a long way since I was on the radio, over 20 years ago, and I was talking about the fact that one of my children's babysitters was a gay guy. His name, David, and they used to call him Aunt David. And the crap that I took as a parent for allowing a homosexual to babysit my kids, I don't think that those calls would come in today, because David is one of the most charming, outstanding, excellent, decent human beings I've ever met. And interestingly enough, Mrs. Nerd, unbeknownst to me, had her own connection with the same guy at around the same time. But I would like to think that today people understand that, guess what? A gay guy can babysit your son and not be a pedophile. Those are two different situations. Most gay people are not pedophiles. In fact, most child abuse, it ain't the gay guy who's the babysitter. It's somebody that you are inviting into your house that appears to all intents and purposes to be quote unquote normal. Do you think that I take crap today? Like I did over 20 years ago when I said, hey, you know, my son's got this gay guy babysitter. Oh, people went nuts.
So far, there's 21 states, including the District of Columbia, that require schools to notify parents of sex education curriculum. 35 other states in D.C. and I should say D.C. require schools to allow parents to opt out of sex education for children. And we have, let me see here, 7 states that now have the transition course for pre-K kids. Most recently, California's Rockland Academy Gateway is a private school that has gotten a ton of attention because of their celebration of gender dysphoria. Yes, thank you. Gender dysphoria. Basically, these parents want California passed a law that forces this on the kids, and then they got pushback. But they got pushback from Republicans and Democrats to just simply allow their parents to say, we don't want our children involved. And because of this California law, 35 other states now allow parents to opt out of anything that they think that they don't want their kids involved in.
But you understand what I'm saying, that we always hear the GBLT community. There is no GBLT community because people who are gay and lesbian and bi, I'll say this again, they are a little bit upset in many cases, especially our conservative gay and bi and lesbian listeners. They don't quite understand the transgender stuff either, and they kind of believe that they're being lumped into a struggle that isn't theirs.
But again, there are far more Americans that are suffering from, you know, mental illness and depression. You would never take a pre-K kid and break down what bipolar is compared to schizophrenia, compared to, you know, this is a pre-kindergarten child.
No, it's
they don't understand what the heck's going on. They think that, you know, their stuffed animal is a friend.
They think Big Bird is real.
So, I mean, it's an inappropriate age group. All you have to do is hit them with the principles of acceptance and Everyone should be happy.
Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.